Let's read just a little bit over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. The terms is used, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be to trouble. Lest there be any fornicator, a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempness, and the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that they had heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are coming to Mount Zion, and to a city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised sin yet? Once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And Paul uses the terms, the great cloud of witnesses, being encompassed by the great cloud of witnesses. He says this after that chapter 11 expounds to us faith, that the sixth verse, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Or that is, without believing in the word, you're never going to be a Christian, or you're never going to please God. You're going to have to believe in the word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. And to believe in the word of God is faith. And to believe in the word of God, the only way that you can prove that is that you practice the things that the ministry is teaching you. When you practice those things, then you believe. Paul, in pointing out these things, he tells us how terrible it is as to what happened in the days of Moses. And all through the Bible, Moses is spoken of as to being that which saw the hinder part of God. All through the Bible, we're told that there is a day wherein we see face to face. And we're told of an age of imperfection, and then we're taught an age of perfection. So we're living in the age of perfection. We're in the day of the age of perfection. Moses was in the day that it was not an age of perfection. Things were imperfect. Whereas you probably would say, well, Brother Pike, what makes you think that and how can you prove that? The only way to prove anything is by the Scripture. If the Scripture doesn't say it, you don't want to use it. But the Bible says that as to those that were under the law, it said, and the comma thereunto could never be made perfect by the blood of bulls and goats. But as to the blood of the Son of God, it perfects forever. So then we're living in the day of perfection. We're not an imperfect people. We're not living in imperfect times as to the church ages. We're living in imperfect times as to the world. But as to the church ages, we're not living in imperfect times, but we're living in the time of perfection. And that's why the Bible tells us to go on to perfection. Don't turn again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works and faith toward God, but leaving the foundation of repentance, let's go on to build the building. We've laid the foundation for the building in that we have repented. And now that we've laid us a foundation of repentance, let's go on to build. Let's don't keep going back as it was with Esau, repenting over and over, doing the wrong things, thinking the wrong things, saying the wrong things, and going back over and over to repent. For the Bible said, therefore, leaving the foundations of repentance. Let us get to the place to where we don't have to repent over and over. Instead of repenting, we can testify to the victory and to say that our faith is that victory and that we are overcoming the world by our faith. For the Bible said, who is he? Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. So then, my faith is that is my victory. For the Bible said, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even your faith, that is to say, to believe in what he done in your behalf, as to put the world away from you and to take you away from the world. So then you see that your victory is in Christ Jesus. You have the victory in Christ. And this is the victory, even your faith. So then the Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. For after that ye have done the will of God, ye have need that ye be patient, or have need of patience, that ye might receive the promise. For once we've done the things that please God, then do we have confidence toward God, that whatever we ask of God, he heareth us. And then we know that if he heareth us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of God. So then let us go on to be perfect in the sight of God, not laying the foundation of repentance over and over, but let us go on. Someone would say, to what? To the doctrine of baptisms, to the laying on of hands, to the resurrection of the dead. And these things will we do if God permit. And I know that there are people that preach, leaving the foundation of repentance, let us go on. And they said, go on from the foundation of repentance, and go on from the laying on of hands, and go on from the resurrection of the dead, and go on, you know, to something. They don't ever say what. But folks, that isn't what the Scripture said. It said to go on to the laying on of hands. Paul said, neglect not the gift that is within thee, that was given thee by the laying on of the hands of the presbyter, which means the elders. And it tells us to go on to the doctrine of baptism, because
There is a lot in baptism, and there are numbers of baptisms that has to do with your salvation. For instance, there is, as we would say right offhand, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of fire, baptism in water. There's a baptism of suffering, and on and on and on. Whereas Jesus on one occasion said to the disciples, "Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" See, can you? They said, "We can." He said, "You will." They wanted to set one on the right hand and one on the left. He asked if they could measure up to his stature. Now, so then we can measure up to the stature of the Lord Jesus by believing in his righteousness. For the Bible said, "Everyone that be perfect shall be as his master." And the Bible said, "God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary." So then, he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, even as I have overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father. So we see that we can go on to be perfect. And I brought out a number of times what it means to go on to be perfect. And it's not at all the way some people think as to going on to perfection. Because to them, going on to perfection is trying to work their way into an atmosphere or a condition to where they are very holy and godly. And because of this, God will accredit this to them and they will be saved because they have been such good people. But I tell you, there won't be anybody in heaven like that. The Bible said, "And no flesh shall glory in the sight of God." And the Bible teaches that as to keeping the law, that even though the Lord Jesus himself kept every jot and tittle, and Paul himself said he was blameless as touching the law, but yet they could not be justified by the law. That is, by do's and don'ts or works or whatever. If you're trusting in that to get to heaven, then you're sure to miss heaven. There's no possible way, and I challenge anybody in the world, it doesn't matter who they are or how long they've been in religion, to give me any scripture to prove that they can get to heaven by doing good works or by the things that they're doing. All of your works in the sight of God is like filthy rags. The very best you can do has nothing to do with life. Life is a spiritual thing. God is life. And without God, there is no life. And the Bible said, if you have not God's Spirit, then you don't have any life. You're none of his. So then, you're none of his because God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So then, you're not alive if you do not have God's Spirit. So then, we find that being one with God, to have God's Spirit, is to have life. And to have life is the seal of our new birth, that we have been born again, and that we're not to grieve that Holy Spirit, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. That is, Christ's Spirit had become interwoven with my spirit, and it has sealed my spirit to where there'll never be a stain within my angelic being. And my body is now dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, and like a great angel with wings, I flew away into the heavenly places. And there I abide with the Lord. I don't ever return from that place. I'm always day and night in the heavenly places with God. For I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. And so then, I am in heaven, I am with the Lord, I pass from death unto life, my sins are gone, they're underneath the blood, on the cross of Calvary, far removed as darkness is from dawn. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Praise God, my sins are gone. So then, he that is born of God cannot sin, for Christ, the hope of glory, called the seed of God, remaineth in you, and you cannot sin because you are born of God. And he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. There is no experience that you have that gives you a new birth. I don't care how good you try to be. I don't care how often you go to church. I don't care how many years you've tried to live for God. It has nothing to do with it. If God looks at it, it's all filthy rags, unless it is done as unto the Lord. And if it's done as unto the Lord, it is accepted, but not as works unto salvation. There is no works unto salvation except the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, when we speak of salvation, we speak of salvation by faith, because this is the age of perfection. I have salvation by faith, and that faith is not my faith. I have salvation by His faith. The Bible said, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints of God. Well, that is to say, the Bible teaches that we were all children under tutors until the time appointed of the Father. Shut up under the law, Paul said, being a Jew. Shut up under the law. All of you are shut up under the law till you come to your Christ experience, your Calvary experience. So then, shut up under the law unto the faith, not until the faith, but unto the faith which afterwards should be revealed. Not unto your faith which afterwards should be revealed, because there's always been human faith from the foundation of the world. Adam and Eve had faith. So it was, you're not shut up unto your faith which afterwards should be revealed. The human faith has already been revealed. But the Bible says that sin had dominion over mankind. Though men had not sinned after the similitude of Adam, yet sin and death reigned over them, even unto the law. And the Bible said this continued unto, or until, the seed to whom the promise was made came. And that seed, of course, was Jesus. For the Bible said concerning Abraham and in Isaac, speaking of Jesus, so shall thy seed be called, and all nations shall be blessed. Not as in the seeds of many, as Brother Pike, Brother Taylor, and you. Not as unto that, but as unto one, even Christ. So Christ is your hope of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory, because Christ alone was made heir to the glory of God. And if you don't have Christ in you, you don't have hope of that glory of God. And the Bible says that God is the great light. God is a spirit under which no man can approach. No man has seen Him at any time. The Son of God alone dwells within that light meaning understanding, knowledge. He dwells in that light, and no man can approach under that light. So then, unless you can become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, you don't even dwell in the light. It is unto Him that the promise is made. Therefore, for me to be partakers of it, I have to be Him. He became me and death that I might become Him and life. He died out of the presence of God that I might live in the presence of God. And He was made my sin that I might be made His righteousness in God. So I find myself holy and godly and pure in body and soul and in spirit. Paul said, this I wished, to present you blameless body, soul, and spirit. So then I find myself holy in body, for he said, be holy in body and spirit. I find myself holy in spirit. I find myself holy in my soul, all because of the faith that was to be revealed to me after Calvary, the faith by which I am sanctified. So I find myself with that faith that's been revealed to me by which I am sanctified. And this wonderful faith, having sanctified me, now I am perfect forever. For the Bible said, God hath made perfect forever them that are sanctified, or He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And ye sanctify them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. And they said to the Lord Jesus, they said as to the scribes and Pharisees and others, always having done the works of the law, they said, and what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works. That is, I am the works who was finished from the foundation of the world. And Paul brings a positiveness to this, speaking in the affirmative by saying, and this faith needs no works. He said, for this faith is without work. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. What faith? The faith of Jesus Christ. By faith without works. And the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered and taken away. All iniquities forgiven, sins covered. The Bible said, to wit, that God, who is a spirit, was in Christ, who is flesh and bone. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. As to the ministry of reconciliation that he has given unto you and I in the time of his absence as to the human body. To reconcile the world back to himself, that is through his works, through his atonement, through his efforts. Reconciling the world back to himself and not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's why we can go to Jesus, our high priest, and we can pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those that trespass against us. So then we find ourselves free from sin. And I know when I say this to people who have been brought up in some churches, they think that's sacrilegious. But folks, let me tell you, if your salvation is depending on your works, let me inform you today, as your pastor here at Bethlehem, and of all that I've ever seen in the religious world, in the Pentecostal world, in the Baptist world, in the Catholic world, in the Methodist world, and I preached around the world at different places. So let me tell you, to begin with, I have never found one godly, holy, pure person. Never. The Bible said there's not any. All of them have gone astray. Every man has turned to his own way. And the Bible said God has laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. He was bruised for our transgression, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we're healed. So then there's none good. He said, no, not one. All of them have gone astray. Every man is turned to his own way. The Bible said their thoughts are continually evil, and their throat is like an open sepulchre. And the Bible says their heart is continually thinking the wrong thing. So then I thank God that through Jesus Christ, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign, because I have been redeemed. So then I am waiting to wit the redemption of my body, but it isn't because it hasn't been redeemed. For the Bible teaches that Jesus redeemed it at Calvary, speaks of it as the purchased possession, and as the coming of his spirit into our heart, as the earnestness of our inheritance. So then, we're being taught and we're being tutored that we might come to comprehend the heights, depth, width, and length, to comprehend, or that is to be able to wit the redemption of our body. So then, we were shut up under the law until you come to the faith. Unto the faith. So let's say the Jews. Let's say Paul, a Jew, and he's speaking to the Jews, and he's saying to the people, and brethren, you were shut up under the law unto Calvary, unto Christ Jesus, the perfect one, unto that which was perfect, that is to come, or was to come, unto that which is called the faith. So you were shut up under the law unto the faith, unto the faith of Jesus Christ, which was coming, which faith, by which we were to be sanctified. Having been sanctified by that faith, then are we made perfect forever. And he said, and that not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. So then we find out that there is no works required to have salvation. Someone would say, well, I have to repent to get salvation. The Bible teaches that the gift of God, which takes in the gifts of the Spirit and the gift of eternal life, that they are not given through repentance. If they were given through repentance, then millions of people in the world today that don't live right would have eternal life, just like Esau would have got the birthright. But though Esau repented, he did not find the birthright. Though Judas repented, he did not find the birthright. And if it was given through repentance, Judas and Esau could have repented and found those things. So it's not given through repentance, it is given by foreknowledge. The Bible said ye are God's elect by foreknowledge. That is to say, what God foreknew that you would do in your lifetime, looking down through the telescope of time, beholding your life before you ever came into the world. Like the prophet said, I was called to be a prophet before I was ever formed in my mother's womb. And so then, as it was with Judas before he ever came into the world, the Bible said, let another his bishopric take before he ever had a chance to do any good or evil. And as the Bible said concerning Jacob and Esau, the children not yet being born, having done no good or evil, it was said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So then God, foreseeing even before you came into the world, the kind of attitude that you would take when you heard the word of God, or when you was confronted by the word of God. And so then he sent forth his spirit, crying, Abba Father, into your heart. And today, everyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can be saved. And the Bible said, say not within thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven to bring him down, or who shall descend into the heart of the earth to bring him up. It is nigh thee, even in thine heart. If thou shalt confess with thine lips the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that God hath raised him from the dead, ye shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the lips confession is made unto the salvation. For what a man speaketh cometh from his heart, and when he confesseth it, it's proof that the Spirit is taken up its abode within the heart. That's why the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. God within Christ imputing not their trespasses to them. And blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for righteousness without works into his life. So then we find that salvation has nothing to do with your works. Then the question arises again, why then is it that the Bible tells us to go on to perfection? It does not tell us to go on to perfection that we might perfect our works so that we can be a Christian or that we can have salvation. I want you to understand this real clear, brothers and sisters, that when a little child is born into the world, I tell you again, that little child does not have to go on to be a human being. He does not have to go on to have life. He does not have to go on to belong to your family. He is a human being. He has blood. He has life. He has eyes. He has hands. He is altogether a human being. He doesn't have to go on so that he can be born into the world. He's already born into the world. When God said go on, he wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to you and I that have been born again. Let us who have been born again, we are children of God, caught up to the throne when we're born again. Now that is immediately the kingdom of God comes within to our heart. So then our inner man is within the throne or in the presence of God. The body's dead, the spirit goeth to God who gave it. So there's a new birth, and the new birth is that angelic one that went to God who gave it to live in the body of Jesus, and so then the Christ is born, and it's not you living but Christ. And the body of death and sin, even the devil's image, as to the bastard child, is dead, buried, gone, and taken away. And you are then cut off from sin, and occasion from Lucifer is cut off from you. So when you are born again, you're just as much a Christian as you'll ever be. You have eternal life just as much as you'll ever have eternal life. You are a son of God as much as you'll ever be a child of God. But the Bible said, though we be a son of God, yet we're under tutors and we differ nothing from a servant. We're like a child that's under guardians until the time appointed. So then, we are under the tutors until the bar mitzvah, and then when the bar mitzvah comes, we are changed into that wonderful glory of God, and we begin to be about our Father's business to take over all of the wonderful things of God. But in this world, you're still sons of God. You're still born again. God so loved you while you were yet in your sins that he gave his son to shed his blood for you. I say again, how much more does God care for us now that we're making an effort to serve Him? If the devil could not hold us when we were in our sins, in that the blood and love of God was so strong it just took us out of His hands, how much more should we be convinced as to the strength of the preservation and protection of God now that we're born again and now we're serving God? See, nothing can separate you from the love of God. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. You are without spot, you're without wrinkle, without blemish. What can separate you from the love that was so strong that it gave its only beloved Son the dearest thing that heaven could afford? What could separate you from love like that? So then we see that when God says, go on to perfection, He is not speaking of any of your works as unto salvation, but the Bible speaks of being sanctified daily. I say this again to you. Sanctify yourself daily, not for salvation. For I'm sanctified once and for all for salvation by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the faith of Christ. But I sanctify myself daily as living a perfect life before God to the best of my ability, the blood taking care of all my staggering and stumblings, which we all do. But I'm trying to perfect my life before God and sanctify myself daily by pulling away from the world, to come out from the world, to be a separate people, going on to be perfect, that is to the full measure, the full stature of Christ Jesus, to the full reward. I'm trying to do that so as to bring about the change of the church as to body redemption. That's why I'm doing that, as to that which is already purchased. To bring it into harmony with God, to be able to listen to the Word of God, to get the understanding that I might with the redemption of my body, that we may come to the generation that will not be put into caskets. Death is conquered by you and for you through Christ Jesus. And yet it's the last enemy to be conquered as to the world. When it is cast into the lake of fire after the millennium, then it'll be conquered. That is what it means as to the last enemy. But think, 1,000 years before then, death won't have any power over you and over the sanctified. But the wicked dead live not again till the 1,000 years is finished, so then death is not conquered for them. Now, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, of which the second death, which is the lake of fire, hath no power. And I tell you again, there's but one death, because the first is asleep. And the last is into the lake of fire, that is death. The first is separation of spirit from body. The second is separation from spirit from God. So then death is when your spirit is separated by sin from God, as a middle wall of partition comes in there, as to iniquity, thy sins having separated between thee and thy God. But when your body is separated from your spirit, it is because Christ hath rent the veil in two, took your bodily sin, crucified the body of sin. Paul said, done away with the body of death, buried that thing in the watery grave, and your spirit went back to God who gave it, sealed by the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God within you, and thus you have salvation and life eternal. So when you're born in the world, you're just as much as you'll ever be. But we're going on to grow in the grace and knowledge. We're going on to the full measure, the full stature. We're going on to the full reward. See, so we are perfecting our body. Let us go on to perfection. Not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance, saying, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, I'm sorry. Someone would say, Brother Pike, do you feel that we should not repent? Do you feel that we should not say that we're sorry? And of course we should repent. Of course we should say that we're sorry. But we should understand the Bible enough to know that all of that hath nothing to do with our salvation. That it don't come through repentance. It don't come by saying many words. It don't come by praying all night. They prayed, they fasted in long robes. They sought the salutations of the marketplaces with long prayers. But that was an abomination in the sight of God. I'm saved once and for all. I'm made perfect once and for all. I'm free from sin once and for all. I'm sealed once and for all under the day of the redeeming of my body, the change of the body. So then my sins are gone. They're taken away. They're there no more. Christ made an end of sin. So then I am not repenting so that He will forgive my sins. I'm not repenting and asking Him for that, so he will forgive my sins. He's already forgiven my sins in Christ. For Christ's sake, he forgave my sins. How can I be perfect and still be a sinner? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, everybody sins. Everybody that is of the devil sins. For the Bible said, he that sinneth is of the devil. If you sin, then you can number yourself with the devil. But the Bible said, he that is born of God, he cannot sin. It doesn't say he may not sin. It says he cannot sin. For Christ Jesus is the seed of God that has perfected him forever. On the inside is that faith that sanctifies him and makes him perfect forever. So then I'm repenting because I do that through humility, through submission, through letting my Heavenly Father know that I am not in harmony with mistakes. I'm not in harmony with stumblings and staggerings and gossip and backbiting and all these evil spirits of whatever thoughts might assail my mind or whatever. I'm not in harmony with it. It's detestable to me. And my repentance coming to my high priest is for that purpose. I come to him. I don't come to him and say, oh my God, you saved me yesterday and your blood was sufficient. And the day, you know, following now, here I am, I'm done sinned against you and now I've got to have another blood atonement. I don't do that. I go to him because the blood is sufficient. I go to him to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've done wrong. I'm sorry. I repent, Heavenly Father. But I know that the blood covers it. I'm not going to condemn myself over that thing which I allowed as I stumbled when I was trying my very best not to. The Bible said, happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing which he alloweth. So then I'm not going to condemn myself over that and throw my faith away and let the devil tear down my faith so Satan can come in on me like a roaring lion. For the Bible teaches that we're not to throw our faith away that hath great recompense of reward, but taking the shield of faith that we might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. So then I am an overcomer by Christ. And this is that overcometh the world, even my faith. And the Bible said, be strong in me. Let the weak say I'm strong. He is the high priest of our confession. Though I be weak in body, whatever, but I confess I'm strong in Christ. By his works, thus I draw the strength of God. So then I'm going on to be perfect. Perfect in what? As to perfect in deed? I'm going on to be perfect in faith. Paul said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. For the ministry is say here, for the perfecting of your faith. I preach this to you so that you can hear all of it and then in detail believe all of it, that you might have a perfect faith, an unwavering faith, a faith that cannot be penetrated. So then I go to the Heavenly Father and I say, I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry, Heavenly Father, I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you forgive me for my trespasses. Lord, I come to you. For Jesus said, pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so to the world it is sin. To you and I, we may use the term sin. But see, it's trespasses. And the Bible said God was in Christ Jesus, not imputing our trespasses unto us. And here is the high priest of my confession. And I go to him and I say, Father, I've stumbled. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Not that I'm asking him to forgive me in the sense that I'm going to hell. Not that I'm asking him to forgive me because I went out and sinned against him. Because the Bible said where these things are, there's no conscience of sin. How can I sin against God when I cannot sin? How can I sin when I have no conscience of sin? I'm not even conscious of sin. I'm conscious of life, eternal life. So then, all of this is done away with. I go to him and I pray these things to him that I may let him know I love him, that I respect him, that I know that righteousness is of God, that his blood is sufficient. Would I go to him if his blood wasn't sufficient? The fact that I go to him proves I believe his blood is sufficient. For see, God cannot save you today by the blood and then you sin tomorrow. And then when you come back, save you again. He makes it very plain. The Bible said, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works and faith toward God. He said, for it is impossible for those that have once come to the knowledge of the truth and been made partakers of this divine presence of God as to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, that is the rain upon the just and the unjust, coming into that atmosphere of grace as to that time appointed. See, it is impossible once you come to this, if ye shall fall away, that is sin against God, to renew you again to repentance. God cannot renew you again unto repentance, seeing that you crucify to yourselves Christ afresh and put him to an open shame. See, that is to say, you would have to have another Christ. You would have to have another blood atonement. God won't do that. You have atonement for your sins one time, and that atonement is sufficient for once and for all, for he hath perfected forever, once and for all, them that are sanctified. See, that blood is sufficient forever. So then, once you're born of God, then you cannot sin. But if you can come to God before you're born of God and come to the knowledge of the truth and reject the knowledge of the truth, you can come and be a believer like Judas was. You can become numbered with the church like Judas did. You can walk with the Lord just like Judas did, and the rain can be upon you and all of this, and come to the knowledge of the truth and still not have God, still not have salvation, and come down to the end of the trail like Judas. And the Bible said at the Last Supper, though he had obtained part of the ministry, he failed by transgression. And the Bible says when the Lord gave him the sup, the devil entered into him. Now, if Judas had been of God, had the Holy Ghost, the devil could not have entered into him. See, the Bible says that coming into this knowledge, you can be sanctified. But after that you're sanctified, that seven other devils can come and force their way in. For the Bible said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it wandereth through dry places, seeking rest, and cannot find it. It saith, I will return to the house from which I came. It goes and find it clean. Sanctify, and it can't enter in because it's an unclean spirit. See, but when it gets seven other spirits, and all these spirits get to harassing the mind, harassing the mind, harassing the mind, you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have resistance, you don't have strength to overcome. And one would say, smell that aroma of that cigarette, and another would say, look at that man or look at that woman. You know, or one would say, money. Money. And all the time these things are saying all kinds of things to you till you get weary. And the first news you know, you done took a puff. Or you done said a word you ought not. Or you done got your mind where it ought not. And immediately all of them, like a covey of birds, flies right inside of you. So then, Judas never did get the Holy Ghost. So at the Last Supper, when Jesus gave him the sup, Satan entered into him. And he went out into the darkness. That is to say, into the ignorance of being cut off from the light of Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to close in just a few minutes. I just want to clarify this. Remember, we are going on to be perfect. I am confessing my sins to the Lord Jesus. I'm confessing my wrongs to the Lord Jesus. Because when I was out there, I faltered and I'd done wrong. And that was sin. When I was born again, I come and I still falter. I still falter. But I have no will to falter. I have no desire to falter. I have no conscience of sin. I am in this world and devils and demons are pressing me. And it's like walking in the night and somebody sticks the foot out and trips you. You didn't mean to fall. There's a difference, you know, as to jumping off of a cliff and somebody tripping you and you fall. So then that means that, as Jesus said, and as Lucifer said to Jesus, as from the scripture, cast yourself down from here. For it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning thee. And they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest thou should dash thy foot against a stone. I've had the Lord to take care of me. I've been going down the road. I've been hit in the rear. As to my automobile, flipped around, turned over, laying on the side of the ditch. I've had them to where they have to take me out the side of the car, and my wife and children out the side of the car. I've been going down the road. I've skidded off with ice, turned all the way around in the field, and not turn over. I've been going down the road, skid off on ice, go over and flip over on the ground and hit the side, and the car flip back up. I've been going down the road and hit a bridge and skid and go off the end of the bridge, down into the creek. I've been and all kinds of mishaps, on and on and on I could go. I've been right on the verge of going off of the mountain when the Lord would take care of me.
See, his angels charged concerning me. They bore me up in all of my ways and kept me all down through the years, lest I should dash my foot against a stone. I've never had a stone bruise since I have grown up to be a Christian. Perhaps you haven't either. But when I was a little boy, I was bad about going barefooted, and I had stone bruises all the time. And all through the night, I just cried. It was so tormenting. See, so the Lord takes care of us. He watches over us. I say, Lord, forgive me. I say, forgive me, because he had the power to forgive me. Because it is his blood that was my atonement. And since he's my high priest, then after I pray, I believe. Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pipe, what you do, you sin, you go back and you ask God to forgive you, and then you go your way and you're all right. Now, that don't make any kind of sense to me. Because if I go to the Lord Jesus, and I've sinned against God, and I get down there and I say, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And I'm so heavy-hearted, I'm so tore up, I'm a sinner. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I one time was a Christian, but now, Lord, forgive me, because I'm a sinner, I'm a wretch. Forgive me, 15 times forgive me, 25 times forgive me. And then I get up and I say, well, it's all right, he forgive me. Let's give the Lord. That don't make no kind of sense at all, because you're in the same kind of condition when you get up as you was when you went down there. Because eternal life is not given through repentance. And if you didn't have it when you went down there to ask him forgiveness, it's for sure that you're not going to get it when you get up from there. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. I don't have to wait. The Bible said it was given to me in Christ before the world ever was and brought to light at Calvary. And when I went down there, I had it in the mind of God before the world ever was. I was elect according to what he foreknew. And I came down to the altar. I came to the high priest of my confession to acknowledge my salvation and my election and my sonship. And the Bible said, make your calling and election sure by checking or confirming your flight, as we say. Checking the thing out. So then when I get down there and I ask him 15 times to forgive me, I'm no better than I was when I started. I was saved by grace. I was covered by the blood. I went down there to show my humility and my repentance, asking my Heavenly Father to forgive my sins, in that I'm communicating with him and he's my high priest. And I'm saying, Father, forgive me my trespasses. Take these trespasses away. Move these things. Well, that is, I'm vexed because of the devil. And I'm saying, move the devil away from me. He's aggravating the life out of me. And Lord, I believe in the power of God, and I believe I'm strong in your name and by your spirit. And Lord, I believe I'm holy and just and righteous and cannot sin because you said so. That's my faith in the word, and that's what saved me when it said I could not sin. I believed it and my sins were gone. So I only go down there to strengthen my faith, to have fellowship, to encourage myself with the Lord, and let the Savior know that he's the high priest of my confession. I do not go down there to start begging repentance. God doesn't want you always coming to him to beg repentance. He wants you to do all that you can to stay away from sin. When the devil attacks you, he don't want you to condemn yourself if you stumble. He wants you to believe in his faith and his righteousness and his blood, and continue on to keep the devil out of your life, and keep praising God and magnifying God and singing hallelujahs to God, to let him know that you are an overcomer every day, every minute, 24 hours around the clock. You understand what I'm saying? And we are waiting for the redemption of our body, that is, to wit, the redemption. And that will not come until the Jews come in. Because I tell you again, adoption must come by law. I'm born again of the spirit of my angelic inner man. But my body's contrary to it, and I'm waiting for the Jews to come in. When the Jews come in the Thessalonian change, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the adoption will take place, because it takes the law, and they bring the law in. And the body went out when the law was folded up and laid away. And the body will come in when the law is thus revealed again, when perfection comes as to the manifestation of this within you and I. For the Bible said that in this life of Christ shall be made manifest in our mortal genes. Or that is, when the Jew comes in, that which keeps
the law, that which believes in bodily redemption, or that is to say, those that believe in the do's and don'ts of life, or those that believe in doing things in the body. So then, what am I trying to do? I am a Gentile over here, saved by the grace of God and the Spirit, and I'm working my way all the way down through the transitional changes of the ages to get over here to the Jew, which represents the body. That I, as the Spirit, may enter into him, and that body may come to life, because he's been dead in the presence of God ever since Calvary. And as this message enters into him, and then he comes to life, the Bible said, "In Zion shall be saved." The same way you're saved, by grace. But when I work my way over to that Jew, or I work my way over to the perfection which they believed as keeping the body holy, then it indicates that the time of the redemption has come. The Jews come in, the resurrection of the dead comes, and the change of the body. For Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? So then, let us go on to perfect this body. Let us go on to perfection, sanctifying ourselves daily that we might be used of God, and the utilization of the membership of our body might be great and mighty as God himself, through the surrender of every thought, every deed, may show forth the more as it seeps forth out of the centermost being, to be made manifest as the life of his pleasure, which is Christ, within the genes of this body. Until we go to the full measure of the full stature, to be filled with the Spirit, that it might be Christ living and not us living. For if you seek to save your life, you lose it. If you'll give your life to God, then you save it. Let's stand together. As much we'd like to say, for great is the mystery of godliness. I made a steward of the mysteries. So here we are in the day of perfectness. Here we are in the day of perfection. Are you then born again? Paul on one occasion had a dispute with Peter and with the Galatian people. And this was the contest. He said to them, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Oh, that is to say, Peter, he pulled away from the Gentile people, went back to the Jews. When the Jews came up to where he was at, fellowshipping the Gentiles, and it upset Paul. And Paul said, why did you do that, Peter? He said, I blamed Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. He said, Peter, this I ask of you, did righteousness come by the law or by Jesus Christ, which the Bible said the law and the prophets? Or that is to say, the law came by Moses, but righteousness by Jesus Christ, grace and righteousness. So then he said, if there had been a law, Peter, that could have saved the people, then Jesus Christ is dead in vain. God would not have given his son. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God, he said. He said, I'm not going to do that. He turned to the Galatians and he said, oh, foolish Galatians, wasn't you saved by the grace of God through the preaching of the word? The miracles that happened among you, wasn't it by the act of faith through the death and sufferings of Jesus Christ? Are ye so foolish, having begun the Spirit? Now you think doing ritualistics and going through the formalities of the Jews and whatever, that this is going to make you perfect. Going through what you call your holy works and all these kind of things. Jesus said, depart from me, thou that's more holier than thou. See, so then the man said, Lord, forgive my sins. I'm a sinner. I have nothing to offer. He went down to his house justified. The other man says, I pay tithes. I fast. I'm not like this Pharisee. God didn't even notice him. He didn't even notice him. Like the rich man that throwed in out of his abundance, he cast into the treasure. God didn't even notice him. The little widow gave a 2 mites. She took the heart of God. So then, let us go on, brethren.
to believe in this perfect love, this perfect grace, this perfect righteousness, to understand it, to love it, and to go on and perfect it in our lives, to put away everything that's unlike the Lord Jesus. And let us never in our entire lifetime rest upon the shifting sands of theology, ideology of mankind, or rest. Don't let your faith rest upon anything that you do at any time, whether it's fasting or praying or whatever, because it has nothing to do with your victory. Your faith is in His righteousness, which is your faith in His faith. And it takes works with your faith, because you have to do the things that please God to assure your conscience that you're walking in harmony with God. Then do you have confidence, which is your faith, toward God. And we know that if we have that confidence, we have the petition we desire of Him. Why do we have the petition that we desire? Because we do the things that please Him. But is that the reason that we have the petition? We have the petition. We know that we have the petition because it's already granted to us in the foreknowledge of God from the foundation of the world. And it's already there. And He hath already given us all things that pertain unto life, to give us life and that more abundantly. And because we have our faith working, then we go away and join it. Because it's already there. It's already given to us. And the only way we can go by and pick it up is by true believing. Why do we have to believe? It's a shield of faith to keep iniquity out of our life, as to non-submission on our part to iniquity. Because if iniquity comes by submission, then God cannot look upon iniquity. Therefore we're separated from God. For thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God, and kept thee back from good things. But when the middle wall of petition, as to thine iniquity, hath been taken away, which it hath been in Christ Jesus, and then you believe in God through the rent veil, as to look through that, saying, my sins are gone, my iniquities are gone because of Him. And you sing praises to Him, and you worship Him because your sins are gone. Let's sing that little chorus. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Sing it with me. For there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Now, this is the way I would sing it now, if it was by works. There underneath my effort, because I've done it all, praise me, I don't need Him. Come on, folks. Isn't that the way that you sing it? Oh, no. Somebody said, I would never do that. But when you testify of your righteousness, and you testify of your overcoming life because you fasted, because you prayed, and you testify of who you are because of what you've done, you're saying, praise me, my sins are gone. But I like it like this. Give me another key, Frank. That's a little high. When I meet the scoffer, I say, my sins are gone. Ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. Forever underneath the blood on the cross, Calvary, far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. See, that's why I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord because He died for me. I praise the Lord because He took my sins away. I praise the Lord because He don't impute my trespasses unto me. I praise the Lord because He's tender and kind and merciful. I praise the Lord because He's everything to me. I have a right to praise the Lord because He's done all of this for me. That's what it's all about, praising the Lord, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Entering into the gates with thanksgiving, entering into the courts with praise, praising the Lord. But if it's by works, then the Bible said I should boast. I should say, praise me, everybody, praise me. Because of what I've done, praise me. Oh, you say, you're acting foolish, Brother Pike. Oh, no, I'm acting like you do when you do that. Paul said, bear with me a little in my folly. I'm acting like you do. Oh, somebody said, well, I never do that. But you do that all the time. I meet them all over the world. I meet them at Bethlehem. I meet them in the Pentecostal churches. I meet them in the Catholic churches with their Catholic ritualistics. And I meet them in the Baptist church with their saying that they are Christians, that they can live like the devil and still go to heaven because they put their name on the book. And once saved, always saved. Let me tell you something, folks. I believe that once saved, always saved. But just because you believe there's a God, that don't mean a thing. The devil believes too. And just because you go to church and you confess that you are a Christian and say, I believe, that don't mean that you're saved. But when you genuinely get born again, you're never going to be unborn. Someone would say, well, that's what I believe, Brother Pike. I believe once saved, always saved. I believe that I've been born again and I'm on my way to heaven. But that don't mean a thing. The thing is, was you born again? Somebody says, well, I believe I'm born again. I know some folks believe that they're healed when they're dying with cancer. And they go around testifying of it. But they still die with cancer. See, is the cancer gone? Do you really believe? Do you really have faith? Have you really been born again? If you've really been born again, folks, you're not going to sin. Somebody said, well, I believe I'm born again, but yet you go back out in the world, you do the things of the world, you go the same way, have the same old nature, like I said at the first of the service here. Though I preach to you, yet I see some of you in the pit. Why is that? Because you've never been born again. You've never been saved. And all that thing about once saved, always saved, and what you're doing is nothing but hogwash, as we say. But folks, when you get the Holy Spirit, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit will keep you from going doing those evil things. You won't do those things. You might stumble. You might stagger. You might be weak. You might fail to pray and fast the way you ought to. You might have oppression of mind. You might run into problems. But you ain't going to sin. You ain't going back out there in the world. You're not going to mess with the world. You're going to come out of the world. And anything that you do is going to be without a conscience of evil and without a desire of evil. And you're not going to look for anything. And you're not going to put yourself in a position to be in that place where the wrongs are. You're not going to go out there. You're not going to practice the things of the world. You're not going to have the love of the world in you. Whether it's be ball games or whatever, money, whatever. You're just not going to do it. The lust of the flesh or whatever. And when you do stumble into something, when you do find yourself at a place like that, and Satan crosses your path to cause you to stumble when you didn't go there, you didn't know that you was going there, you are there altogether, accidentally and unawares. And when you stumble, just go right on singing, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. Far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. See, if I stumble, if I stagger, and the devil, he comes hurrying over to me, and he points his finger of accusation at me, though I'm grieved, though I'm hurt, I stumble. I wouldn't have hurt God's feeling for nothing. I wouldn't have done that for nothing. Lord, I'm sorry. I wouldn't have done that for nothing. But I just go on singing. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the mercy of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. All right, so do we have any born-again folks here tonight? Would you raise your hand? All right, then that means that you do believe what I'm saying. Do we have anybody here tonight that believes they cannot sin because they're born of God? All right, that's a strong statement you're making. I guess you know that, don't you? Somebody says, well, all Christians believe that way, Brother Pike. All believers believe that way. You just go out there in the Pentecostal world. You just go out there and fellowship some of them people. And you go out there of some of the most devout people you know and ask them that. And they'll think you blaspheme. You just go out there. See, I say tonight, do we have any gods here tonight? Wow, that's strong talk. Everybody believes that. You just go out there. There's a man sitting over here the other night, right back where Gene is. Sat right there. He's a preacher. I've been preaching for years. I preach for him. And he got all out of proportion the other night when I said some things. Folks, let me tell you, you'd be surprised how little people know about God and know about eternal life and know about salvation. Let me tell you, that's why the Bible said, few there be that find it, and little flock, and straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. Strive to enter in. See, I saw some of the Bethlehemites in the pit. So then God don't want you there. I told you in the vision, God don't want you there. And what you need to do is to get out of that thing. To get out of that thing. We ought to sing a chorus or two and we're going to let you go. Thankful to have Sister Mary Ranner down. Means a lot to have her here. She comes from a long ways. Let's sing another little chorus. We're going to have an altar called here. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Now everybody that believes you sin, all you that say you're born of God, that believes you're sin, would you raise up your hand? If you believe your sins are gone, raise up your hands. If you believe you died to take over your sins, and he that is born of God cannot sin, but he hath passed from death unto life. Everyone that believes that everyone that sins is of the devil, raise your hand. I believe he's of the devil. So when you hear people say, well, everybody sins, just say, I believe every word you're saying. Everybody does sin. Everybody that's of the devil. Let's give the Lord. All right, let's sing again. Let's sing, I love him. I love him. I love him. Why is it that I want you to believe that you don't sin? Because I'm trying to perfect your faith. So you won't be going back for repentance and repentance over and over. I'm wanting you to go on to believe in the perfect works of Jesus Christ. That your faith may be perfect. I'm wanting to bring in a perfect faith. So it will transfigure your body. Translate the church, as we say. I love him. Do you believe God will ever rapture church? that's sinning today and repenting tomorrow and going to God and saying, I repent, I'm a Christian. You know, folks, this is sad, but I said it the other night talking to you. There are people that bases their Christian experience on speaking in another language. They actually do. They don't base it on faith. They don't base it on faith. They base it on speaking in another language. If you don't speak in another language, you don't have the Holy Spirit. They'll tell you. And they'll tell you that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not of His. You can't be a Christian. No, they won't tell you that. That's what I'm telling you. That they're saying. They tell you that you're saved by faith, and they're saved by faith, but you got to speak in tongues to have God's Spirit. Not all of them. Some of them. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't go to heaven. And if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost, which means they're preaching salvation by tongues. There are some that don't preach it like that. There's some that preach that you do, that you can go to heaven, that you do have the Spirit of God, but you still don't have the Holy Ghost unless you speak in tongues. Now, I don't know how many spirits of God they're talking about. The Bible says there's one Spirit, and if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. But they say there's three. There's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All three of them, and you get one, you know, you get another, and you're sanctified, you're saved, and then you're sanctified, and then you're filled with the Holy Ghost. That's true to some extent, but it's not at all like that. And the sanctifying of it daily, I say again, has nothing to do with your salvation. Folks, you don't get one Spirit and then you're saved, and get the next Spirit, you got the Holy Ghost, and get the next Spirit. You don't get it like that. You don't get it like that. There's but one Spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ. That's the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Called the Spirit of Truth. And the Bible said, I go away that He might come back. Because if I don't yield Him up from within this body, the Comforter can't come. If I don't go away, He can't come, because the Comforter was in Him. He was the Comforter. And He said, and when this Spirit of Truth, even the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, which the world can't see, because the Bible said they'll not see when good comes, because their eyes of understanding are darkened. God's darkened their foolish understanding. But your eyes of understanding being enlightened, so you see it. Ye shall know. But they'll not see Him, but He will appear the second time to them that's without sin unto salvation. Now, somebody said, well, would you speak in tongues? I told you I probably speak in tongues at times more than all of you, because then I'm praying. I not only speak in tongues, but I thank God I interpret. Thank God that I prophesy. Thank God I teach. Thank God I preach. But folks, let me tell you something. I've seen people speak in tongues that don't have the Holy Ghost. And you cannot base that experience on speaking in tongues, because the rain is on the just and the unjust. And when the Holy Ghost is poured out on somebody as the rain, they'll speak in tongues. The Bible said, with stammering lips and other tongues shall I speak unto this people. It's a sign to the unbeliever, not the believer. I said the other night, charity is the only way. We know we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. Love is as strong as death. God is love. You recognize God by love because He is love. So then, when the rain comes on a person, they can shout their shoe heels off. They can speak in tongues. They can not only speak in tongues, but as it was with Saul, they can prophesy. And the Bible said he went up to Ramah Gilead with murder in his heart to kill David. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he prophesied so much they thought he was a prophet. Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, could see visions. Your experience of seeing visions as the rain poured out upon you don't mean that you have salvation. Dreams, visions, whatever. People that are not Christians have premonitions. They just be sitting at the table and they have it. See, I'm saying to you that the rain is poured out on the tare, and it takes the same rain for it to live
as it does the wheat. And it jumps up and down the same way. It's just as thankful the same way. But folks, Balaam, though he could see visions with his eyes open, falling into a trance and see the Lord, but the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He was a soothsayer, and God had him killed for his iniquity. As the dumb ass forbade the madness of the prophet. All right, let's sing another chorus. We just want to know where we're living, who we are, what we're doing. It's like I said not too long ago, some people, they teach long hair. I've been around Pentecostals when their hair was so long that it could touch the ground. And the dresses were so short on some of them, they were above their knees. Let's give the Lord a hand. Blind guides that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Had God rather a woman be decent by having a long dress and her hair not be so long? Or he'd rather that she'd be half nude and her hair be long? Somebody said, well, her hair is a covering. That's true. Her hair is telling her that she needs to have enough good common sense to put on clothes. Somebody said, well, she couldn't have short hair and be a Christian. I'll guarantee you she could. I've been out in California and Los Angeles, and I preached there downtown Los Angeles when I've seen them flood into the altar and tears streaming down their pancake makeup face until it would leave a gulch. And them crying and calling on the name of the Lord. And folks, God didn't tell them to take a bit of it off so he could save them. Somebody said, well, bless God, he didn't save me till I got right. No, he saved you. That's why you was right. And if he didn't save you, you've never been right. The Bible said he saved you while you were yet in your sins. You love the Lord? Somebody said, well, he saved me from my sins. I know he did. He died to get between you and your sins. Someone said, well, that's because I sought him. No, the Bible said you didn't seek me. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He wasn't seeking nobody when he found you. Not a thing. All right. You might have had problems and you was looking for a way out to keep from blowing your brains out. So then, what do we want to do? We want to. Should a woman have long hair? She should. But she may not have any hair. I see women, there's women that's bald headed. They wear wigs. God don't save you because you got long hair. There's some people that can't even grow long hair. There's black people that can't grow long hair. There's some that can. There's some that can't. There's tribes that can't. There's Indians that can't even grow a beard. You know, if you had to have a beard like Jesus, they'd be lost. Some Indians can't even grow a beard. So then we want to realize that speaking in tongues is not what saves you. Paul said, if we all come together speaking in tongues, won't they say you're mad? Speak to yourself and to God. Keep silent unless there be an interpreter. And the Bible said, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues. I remind you again, is he greater that prophesieth than he that hath the Holy Ghost, if speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost? The Bible said he that prophesies greater than he that speaks in tongues. If the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues, how could he be greater prophesying? We'd have to say the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is prophesying. Let's give the Lord another hand. See, what we need to do, folks, we need to understand. Don't feel bad if you haven't understood. But the thing is, if you hear the word of the Lord, try to understand. All right, let's sing another chorus. We will enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We will enter into God's courts with praise. We will say this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. You know, a lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike,
then that means them old Baptist folks, some of them has got the Holy Ghost as sure as the world. Sure as the world they have. I'm one of them. I was converted in a little missionary Baptist church. I'm one of the old Baptist preachers. And I got the Holy Ghost and even speaking tongues. So you're telling me that some of them Pentecostal people that speak in tongues don't have the Holy Ghost? I sure am, because I've met them that speak in tongues and go out and smoke and dip or snuff and do whatever they wanted to. Go to the ball games and frolic and whatever. We got some of them here. Let's give the Lord another. All right, so we love the truth. Let's sing together again. So we'll enter into the gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Enter into the courts with praise. We will say this is the day the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Like a little thing I heard the other day, and we're all gonna dismiss, just hold on. Brother David Allen was engaged to marry a woman, and this woman he was overwhelmed with, and the children were in objection, but anyway, he was going to marry her. And this went on until just about the time of the wedding, and of course she was a Baptist, and he's Pentecostal, you know. And the woman a few days ago said, "Now, I'll tell you one thing, don't you ever speak in tongues." I said, "Because if you do, that's where we part company." And he said to her from the report, he said, "Lady," he said, "I don't speak in tongues." He said, "But if I could get a hold of it, I sure would speak in tongues if we." And said, "You can be sure that if it comes my way, I'm sure going to speak in tongues." So someone would say, "Well, then you speak in tongues, Brother Pike, you're an old Pentecostal." Yep, I'm one of them old Pentecostals. I believe in speaking in tongues. I said, "Well, what is Pentecostals?" Them folks that believes in Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, tongues came. So they believe in Pentecost. But you know, I don't just believe in Pentecost and tongues. I believe in God. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So let's sing a little chorus together. And he was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time. Sing again now. My Lord was here all the time. Jesus was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all time. All right, I appreciate you coming. Appreciate you being here. Folks, in malice be children, quick to forgive, but howbeit in understanding be men. Seek understanding, call it your kinsman. Follow after understanding, with wisdom get understanding. And remember that salvation is not in eats and drinks, in the keeping of holy days. Someone won't work on Sunday. And they'll condemn you because they're still under the law, being a heretic. After the first and second admonition to admonish them twice, then reject them, they're heretics, condemned of their own selves. Paul said, I'm afraid of you, keeping holy days and all kinds of things. Here on Sunday, I don't let them work on Sunday as a rule. Try not to do anything here on Sunday. Because man looks on the outward appearance, and we do that for testimony's sake. But folks, there's no such thing as a holy day. Some men esteem one day above another, as to say, this is the Sabbath. The Bible said, let him be fully persuaded in his own mind. Deceive ye the weak brother, but not to be doubtful of him or to doubtful disputation. Don't dispute with him all the time. God will receive him. But you be wise. Don't let no man judge you in the Sabbath, a new moon, or a holy day, or eating and drinking. Some men say you can't eat hog meat, you know, and you can't eat these kind of things. You can't eat that kind of things, which is foolishness. The Bible said all things are sanctified by prayer. If I was hungry and couldn't get nothing else, and I starving to death, and a snake came by, I'd probably skin him down. A lot of people live off of them. So I'd never do that. Some of you eat eels pulled right out of the river. You skinned them down. When I was a boy, I didn't know no better. That eel tastes just as good to me as the old mud cat did. My uncle, he caught him, and I eat him. So we need to have understanding, folks. I heard not too long ago where they ate the carcass of them that died. As the others died, some stayed alive by eating their carcass. Read where some ate dogs. Nevertheless, whatever it is, you know, the thing that we got to believe is that things are sanctified by prayer. We're saved by faith and salvation. It's not in eats and drinks. It's in joy and peace and righteousness in the Spirit. Or in the Holy Ghost. And life is not in works. It's spirit. Spirit is life. And life is spirit. And works have nothing to do with life. Nothing at all. Let's just lift our hands up and sing the little chorus we so often sing. I'll praise Him. I will praise Him. Will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and we'll give Him glory, all ye people, for the blood is washed away. So then many is passed on, many are dead, many are buried. They believe that speaking in tongues was the initial evidence. God blessed their heart. They lived a good life and they went the way they understood and what they believed. They believed in the Lord. They believed in the Lord. But they also believed in that experience that way. I don't believe in that experience that way. But I still have the Lord. You may not eat meat and believe. I eat meat and believe. You may believe in a holy day and esteem one day above another. And I do not believe in a holy day. Neither do I esteem one day above another. I esteem every day alike. To me, every day is a holy day with God. Every night is a holy night with God. Every word is a holy word. Every thought is a holy thought. To be holy, for I'm holy. To take time to be holy. For God is holy. And without holiness, as to the Spirit of the Lord, how can you see life? All right, I'm going to ask Brother Eugene to come and dismiss us as we sing that chorus once again now. I've taught you good doctrine, folks. I've taught you the right doctrine. I've taught you something to give you a faith that's unwiltering and unwavering. If you'll believe the things I've taught you, though you stumble, you won't condemn yourself. You'll go to him and you'll make your confession to the high priest of your confession. And when you pray and talk to him, then you'll feel real good and you'll get up feeling good, having confidence and strengthening your feet to say, Lord, I've got it off of my chest now. I've taken my burdens to the Lord and I've left them there. Maybe we ought to sing that chorus. I've taken my burdens to the Lord and I've left them there with him. I've left them there with him. So you go away without them. Give me a key, Frank. Go leave it there. Go and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Go leave it there. Remember, some men will get in as up a fire. Someone said, if you don't have works, you can't be saved. What do I do with the scripture? It said, and some shall get in by fire, all of their works being burned, but they themselves shall be saved. They'll not bring forth as to that fruit to perfection. But let us go on unto perfection. Great is the reward. Let us go on to the full reward, to the full measure of what he was, to be just like him. To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. All right, with your hands lifted up, your eyes closed, let's remember that. Remember me in prayer. Remember to go to your Savior with a regularity. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Tell him all of your problems, all of your stumblings, all of your staggerings. And when you do, say, Jesus, I know you love me. I know you hear me always, Heavenly Father. I know you do. I know you love me. And I know that my sins are gone by your blood, Jesus. But I'm seeking strength. I want you to know I'm sorry. I'm heavy-hearted. I feel all undone. I feel all unclean because of my stumblings and staggerings. And I want to get under the shower of heaven. Lord, I'm over here. The fountain opened in the house of David. I'm over here to tell you I love you, to tell you I'm sorry, and to give you glory for the blood that washes away my sins. And it'll just please the Heavenly Father. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he can wash away the sins, and that he hath washed away of the sins, and that he's able to keep that which is committed unto him.